Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is my last podcast before I turn 29. Hey, I hope and pray this podcast finds you well, whole, holy, and healthy. And I hope and pray it finds you filled with the Holy Spirit of a living and loving God, filled to the brim. The word for anointing in 1 John 2 is can be translated as smeared. So I hope and pray you're smeared with the Holy Spirit. We talked about how, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to spread peanut butter on a sandwich and even mayonnaise or Miracle Whip. You do not spread it just in the center. You go from corner to corner. Every part of it needs to be covered. Amen? Smear that bread. So the anointing is the smearing. Amen? So 29. So I hope and pray you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I am 29 on Sunday. I am a whippersnapper, and I'm feeling fine. Now, on Monday, I turned 62, but on Sunday, I turned 29. Riddle me this. Some of you know this, you're rolling your eyes, you're thinking, you do this every year. Yes, I do, because it's important. So I am born again May the 10th. I was born again May the 10th, 29 years ago. I was born 62 years ago, but on May the 11th. So May the 10th, May the 11th. Some of my kids still think I make these up. I think Olivia. It's like, your makeup day? How's your makeup day? Like, shut up. Anyway, hey, glad you are joining us. We appreciate, love that you are supporting the podcast. Hope and pray that you're blessed by it. Certainly, it's the name of, obviously, the podcast. It's also The Person in Power is the name of the podcast. The Person in Power is the name of the conference we do at Asbury every November. And The Person in Power is also the name of a book I've written. Hopefully, there'll be another book coming soon. That's still in the works. But The Person in Power is also the kind of the heartbeat of the Joshua Center and really the heartbeat of my teaching and preaching over the last few years. And so, pretty excited about how the Lord continues to grow the ministry and blessed by it. So thanks for all the support. Thanks for all the prayers. Thanks for all the, thanks for tuning in. Always appreciate that. So I know a lot of you jump in with comments from time to time, and whether it's texts or emails, phone calls, conversations, always love those. Love having conversations about how God works in our lives and how God works, how the Holy Spirit works and who the Holy Spirit is. And so we're going to jump into this book of Acts again. I really don't know how long this series will last. I'm kind of thinking we're going to get to about 3 verses today. So we'll be all the way to Acts 1:9, maybe. At the end of today, I don't know how long we're going to be in this series, 28 chapters of the book of Acts. All I know is we are supposed to kind of, this is where I feel like the Lord has led here for this season, and hoping to continue to, we'll see how the Holy Spirit leads. But thank you for joining in and tuning in, and let's get started. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you and praise you for your grace. Thank you so much. Indeed, I am grateful for my 29th year of being born again. I am grateful for my 62nd year of being born. I feel as strong as ever. I'm kind of feeling like Moses. I can climb a mountain. I can. I know sometimes I go in and out of prayer conversation. I like that, by the way. But I ran a 5K on Saturday, the Leadership 5K, Lead the Way, Nathan Broom. Great job. My gosh, love that brother. So appreciate him. And Lead the Way, it's a race, 5K race. And so I ran my first 5K in years. and actually ran pretty competitively. I ran a lot stronger than I thought I was going to. And so I was pretty pumped about that. So Lord, I'm thankful for at 62, I am still flipping tires and still running races and still feeling pretty strong. And at 29, you're still growing me and teaching me the heartbeat of the kingdom. So we're going to talk about the kingdom today. So ask and pray, Lord, your blessings upon, Lord, this time, this podcast. Ask and pray, Lord, that you would continue to anoint me and anoint us as we learn together from the book of Acts, from the Holy Spirit. We love you. We trust you. We pray this in Jesus' your mighty and holy name. Amen. All righty, here we go. So let's jump in where we kind of left off. Last week we talked about, we spent a lot of time on Theophilus, sorry about that. But we want to now look at this word that is, Jesus is talking about, as Luke is talking about the Jesus' command, his last command. He says in verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Now, we don't really know. Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. It says here, after his suffering, verse 3, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The context is, so this one occasion he was eating with them was during the 40 days. So of the resurrection, between the resurrection and the ascension. Okay, that's the context. But then also the context, look at this K word. We're going to talk about the kingdom here. About the kingdom of God. All right, we'll come back to that. But look at this. On one occasion he says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So stop, drop, and roll, stop and listen and pay attention. So this gift that the Father promised is referring back to John 14, John 15, John 16, when he begins this discourse on Thursday night, the Last Supper of the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, we just finished a Bible study at the church on the book of John. It took about a year plus, maybe a year and a half. It'll take that long for this podcast in Acts, at least, I betcha. But the without John 14, 15, and 16, guys, we don't have, I'm going to guess 70% of the theology of the Holy Spirit, maybe 80. I mean, I really think we have a chunk of the theology of the Holy Spirit is found in John 14, 15, and 16. We have names, counselor, advocate, teacher. We have personhood. We have connection with the Trinity. We have the role of conviction, of convincing, of teaching, of reminding. I mean, you have all of this. And in fact, we even have time frame where you just wait for the promise. He talks about the promise. It's a promise from the, and he even talks about how it's going to happen, that Jesus is going to ascend and the Father will send once the Son has to go back so the Father can send the Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, working in unison, working together for the work of salvation. And I've said before 1,000 times, Pentecost is coming around the corner. I hope and pray your church is really geared up for that. May 24th, we've already got, I think we've already got double digits in people who are wanting to be baptized at this creek. Now, this creek is going to be warmed up. We've got a thermal heater. We get this big giant heater that's going to be stuck in the bottom of it. No, we don't. It's going to be so cold. How cold is it? It's going to be so cold, it's going to take your breath away. But you're going to remember when you were baptized. You're going to remember when you were remembering your baptism. So if you're out there and you feel like you've never been baptized before, we'd love to baptize. Now remember, blood is for salvation, water is for surrender. Let me say that again. Blood is for salvation, water is for surrender, right? So you're not saved by the water, you're saved by the blood. You surrender to the kingdom and for the work of the kingdom by water. That's how you surrender, okay? You're not saved by water. So, but if you feel a need to surrender publicly by baptism water, then let's do it in the creek, May the 24th, Sunday, about 1:30 here at Fremers Chapel. If you have been baptized and you want to remember your baptism, what we offer here at Fremers Chapel is that so many times we go through life, and sometimes life can be hard. Amen. Sometimes we go through periods of time in our lives where we just fall away from the Holy Spirit, or we fall away from our relationship with God, or we just don't stay as connected as we'd like to stay. Well, guess what? Remembering your baptism is a big part of that. You come back to the Lord. You come back. So we love the privilege of doing this. All right, we love the privilege of doing this. So with that, May 24th, Pentecost, and Pentecost is the third of a three-part work of redemption history. The first for Jesus is to be incarnated, incarnation. Not reincarnation, but incarnation. It is the incarnation of Christ. He has become flesh. God becomes flesh. It is Christmas. It is where Jesus becomes flesh. And again, it's called the incarnation. Then it is the second work is the crucifixion and the resurrection. That's the 1-2 punch, but that's the second work of redemption. So God has a plan. He has a work. He has just at the right time, he sends his son, born of woman, born of flesh, born of a virgin, so that he would grow up and die for the sins of the world, in order to change our sin nature. So the first is the incarnation. The second is the crucifixion, resurrection. And then the third work that has to be done is the impartation. It is the giving of the Holy Spirit. So all three of these are so critically important. So he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Wait for the gift. Wait for the gift that my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know what he's referring back to, right? Luke 3 and Matthew 3. So Luke 3 and Matthew 3, he's referring back to this moment of time that they're at the river. They're at the river Jordan. And John the Baptist is saying, I'll read it to you. John the Baptist, he's talking about a voice calling out in the wilderness, right? And he says to the crowds, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Incredible stuff. But then he says this, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be possibly the Messiah. This is Luke 3, 4, 15. And John answered him, verse 16, I baptize you with water. Listen to the language. I baptize you with water, but... Now, there's already a contrast, and you can say, I only baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Really two important words there, Holy Spirit and fire. And so, but understand that there's a second baptism more important than water baptism. I used to sign my emails, I think it was something like for the second baptism. It wasn't that. I can't remember now. Something about the second baptism. Or no, for the greater baptism. That's what it was. For the greater baptism. So instead of sincerely, Pastor Tim, I would sign my emails or my correspondence for the greater baptism until it gets so confusing and so many people like, what are you talking about? I just said, never mind. I think we'll skip it. So I thought it was going to be a witnessing tool. It became almost a divisive tool. So I said, well, we're going to stop it. But there is a greater baptism. The greater baptism is by spirit and fire, not by water. So water baptism, again, is for surrender. Say that. So water is for surrender. Blood is for salvation. Okay, we're only saved by the blood. We can then profess our surrender to the kingdom by water. That's what John 3 means. That's even here, and we'll talk about fire in just a moment. But this baptism is a greater baptism. So you do not have to be baptized by water to be saved. You do have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit to be saved. This is where indwelling, infilling, and outpouring have got to come into play. These are old. This is early church teaching. This is Orthodox teaching. We are indwelt the second we profess Christ, the second that we literally, earnestly repent of our sin and we turn to Christ as we respond to the Holy Spirit. We're not saved without responding to the Holy Spirit. We're not saved unless the Father desires us to be saved. We're not saved unless Jesus does the work. We're not saved unless they do the Holy Spirit that does the wooing. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the work of God. The Trinitarian work of God is to woo us and to convict us of our sin, to convict us of our lost state, of our lostness, and then convince us that there is a foundness to be had. The foundness is only found through Christ Jesus. We are lost until we're found. We're found because we've placed our faith in the one who has taken our sin and our sin nature, specifically our sin nature, has has destroyed our sin nature, has done the work to destroy our sin nature, Romans 5 and Romans 6, so that we can now be born again, John 3, so that we can be new creations, 2 Corinthians 5, so that we can become the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, not our own righteousness, in 2 Corinthians 5:21. So, and many passages in Isaiah and other places. So all this to say that there's this work that there's this baptism that the Spirit, so as soon as we accept Christ, as soon as we accept the second person's sacrifice, fulfilling the desire of the first person, the Father, the third person comes to live inside of us. Boom, called the indwelling. My daughter, part of the Joshua Center, she's drawn, I wish I could draw it, she's drawn a really good diagram that kind of explains the indwelling, the infilling, and the outpouring. So think about just three images. The first one is an arrow coming down. Boom. An arrow pointing down. That is the Holy Spirit coming inside of us to change our sin nature, to take us from sinner to saint. We are now born again. Then we can ask for more of the Holy Spirit over and over and over. We can continue to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. We can continue to ask for more of God. We can continue, and we need more of God. We need more of the Holy Spirit so that we can develop into mature disciples. We can have fruit. Galatians 5. We can walk in our calling. We can walk in our giftedness, right? We can produce. So we have to keep being. And so she's got like a circle made of arrows. Just a circle, like just, if you can imagine, four or five circles, boop, 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 boop. And they're all in a circular pattern. Okay. And then the third part is the outpouring. And that is an arrow going to the left, outward. So there's an arrow coming down, then there's a circle made of arrows, and then there's an arrow pointing to the right, like going out. And that's the outpouring. That there are moments of history, like Pentecost. There are moments like the Great Awakening. There are moments like Asbury a few years ago, that where the Holy Spirit poured himself out. And that's, we call those moments the outpouring. And there are many, many outpourings in history across the world. David Thomas, my great, great friend, is such an incredible historian of outpourings and awakenings. I just love to hear him talk about these different historical moments. These really, they're kingdom markers and historical markers for the kingdom. So all this to say, we'll talk about kingdom here in just a moment, but all this to say, we are baptized by something greater than water. It's by the Spirit. That's what Luke 3 and Matthew 3 says, all right? So he says, in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is, again, Pentecost. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? God bless these disciples. They continued to be just really kind of dumbfounded about this kingdom talk. They just were not clear on kingdom talk. They just weren't, and they continued to get it wrong. They continued to kind of butcher this idea of kingdom. And ultimately, it comes down to this: are we about our kingdom, or are we about His kingdom? Whose kingdom? How about this? Whose kingdom, and what baptism? Ooh, that's a title. I just came up with the title of this podcast right now. Whose kingdom and what baptism? It all comes down to that. Once we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, now we should be about the kingdom of God, not our kingdom. We're building God's kingdom. We're building the kingdom of God in every way. We're doing the Father's business. I love the fact, I want to point us to kind of an obscure passage. Go to Luke 12 if you've got your Bibles, and if not, just listen up. In Luke 12, there's this kind of particular, this weird kind of verse, and Jesus is talking about he's teaching about do not worry. He's teaching the parable of the rich fool. He's giving warnings and encouragements and encouraging and really exhorting the disciples to be watchful, to be watchful. He says this in verse 49. So all of that in the context, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled! Exclamation point. Fire. I have come to bring fire on the earth. But look at this verse 50. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. He goes on to say, you think I've come to bring peace on the earth? No, I can tell you division. And that's not God meaning, Jesus isn't wanting to divide, but he knows the truth. There's going to be division when it comes to accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of all and the only way to heaven. He knows that. But this coming to bring fire, I think there's really three pictures about fire. And honestly, I think there's two or three pictures. One, the Jewish, under this Jewish understanding, fire always meant judgment. It always meant kind of a judgment. And so I understand that there's a judgment coming, okay? There's also an understanding of cleansing. Fire cleanses and purifies. So I think there's this purifying thing that's going to come. I have come to bring judgment on the earth. Okay, he's judging sin. I've come to bring purifying or cleansing on the earth. Okay, he's going to cleanse us from our sin. He's going to judge us, but there's judgment for sin, but there's also a cleansing. And then I've come to bring fire. I think there's also I think it refers back to the Matthew and the Luke passage in Luke 3 and John 3, or Luke 3 and Matthew 3, about John the Baptist talking, there's one coming after me who's going to baptize with spirit and fire. Because then he uses the language of baptism in verse 50. Luke 12:50. But I have a baptism to undergo. His baptism is one that's suffering. But he says, but what constraint I'm under until it's completed. You might think that's agony. There is translated sometimes as what suffering I'm under, but the word constraint almost means I can't wait. There's almost this excitement because he says, I wish it were already kindled. That is in verse 49. So his time has not yet come. He can't wait to go to the cross. Suffer what he has to suffer so that you and I, in 50 days after the cross, can receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. So can it mean judgment? Yes. Can it mean cleansing? Yes. But it also means baptism. It refers back. It connects. I mean, tongues of fire, anyone? Acts 2, we'll get there, but tongues of fire, right? So fire can mean cleansing. Fire can mean purification. Fire can mean judgment. Fire can mean baptism. I believe it's talking about all of that in this passage. So incredible passage in Luke 12. So he's talking about this kingdom. And I just want to, they say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He says to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Again, second time he's saying this. And probably the 15th time, but at least the second time here. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So one of the reasons that he talks about the ends of the earth, the disciples were so myopic. They were so myopic. They were belly button gazing. They were belly button navel gazing. They kept looking at the kingdom of God coming where? Jerusalem. Think about it. Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Everybody, every Old Testament prophet, everybody knows the capital of the kingdom was Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So there's this kingdom that's coming, and Israel's going to be the primary country, and all the Jews are going to rule and reign over all the Romans, all the bad boy Romans, and everybody else. Jesus, since the time he started teaching, check out John 3. The reason that Nicodemus is so confused, because Nicodemus, the only reason Nicodemus needed, he was taught this, the only reason that Nicodemus and every other Jew needed to enter the kingdom of heaven was to be born a Jew. Until Jesus says, you must be born again. So when John, in John's gospel, in John 3, when Nicodemus talks about, you mean I must climb back in my mother's womb? And then Jesus refers back to, you must be born of water and spirit. So many bad hermeneutics talk about that's being baptism. No, water is birth and then spiritual birth. Physical birth, spiritual birth. That's what it means. That's what they're talking about. So there's two kingdoms, our kingdom and the kingdom of God. We've got to make sure we're in the kingdom of God. How are we in the kingdom of God? By being born again. How are we born again? By being baptized, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Once we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, not only are we in the kingdom, now our job is to live for the kingdom. Amen. He goes on. I'll see if I can finish this part. And if we come back to it next week, we will. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This is, of course, the ascension. I love it. I just see this image of the, you know, kind of like when I went to Chicago for the first time and looked up and saw all the big tall buildings. I'm from Kentucky. I saw all the big tall buildings. My mouth hung open, you know, I was catching flies. same kind of sense. Here's all the disciples. Their heads are up. They're looking up. And I just now looked up. You can tell my voice. I think my voice changed because I looked up. And your mouth drops. And just keep looking. And the angels come. The two angels, two men dressed in white. Oh, why? By the way, how many angels were at the tomb? Looks like two. Maybe the same two. So anyway, they stood. Maybe Michael, maybe Gabriel, maybe together, tag team and together. So here they are standing with him and saying, guys, why are you still gaping at the sky? He's going to come back. Let's get to work. You've heard your marching orders. Your marching orders go into all, wait, and we'll talk about this, but first marching order is go and wait. It says, don't leave Jerusalem, wait. Then receive, because you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized with the Spirit. Then, so wait, baptized, and then go. Go and be my witnesses. And by the way, that word witnesses, martyreo, I think it is. Yeah, we get the word martyr. Yeah. You die to yourself. Do you have to physically die? No, but you do have to die. If you're in the kingdom of God, not worried about the kingdom of Israel, not worried about the kingdom of yourself, right? It's not the kingdom of Tim, it's the kingdom of Jesus. If I'm in the kingdom, I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be a martyr. And as I die to myself, I'm going to bring other people into the kingdom. How? Because I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come on. Woo! Love the book of Acts. Be blessed. Talk to you next week.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek, reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.